How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
How to stop hating, and before you say, well, this doesn't apply to me, we want to check it out. You want to make sure the stakes are too high, too much could be lost, and it's such an insidious and subtle thing that can creep into our lives, and we want to deal with it today. So Heavenly Father, now I ask you for the anointing that makes preaching easy and the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. May these people see you and your ways, and may we ever wonder after you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, there is a war going on in the entire universe. Although, it is my understanding from Scripture that while it was in the universe, that those perpetrating the war were cast down from their role in other parts of the universe and confined here to planet Earth. And that, in fact, then the war is primarily being waged on this planet. And since you live here, and since I live here, you best know everything there is to know about this war. One of the first rules of military engagement is know your enemy. And some people are oblivious to the fact that there is even a war going on. Now, this war encircles, whether you go east to west or north to south, the entire planet, and it affects every nation in the world. This is an international warfare. It is not only international in its spread, but it is inter-ethnos. Ethnos means ethnicity, a race of people. It is racial. And when Jesus said, take the gospel to every nation, the actual Greek word is ethnos, to every ethnic group that exists. Or you can have nations which have several ethnos in it. And a country like America, of course, has literally hundreds of different ethnos. But the war affects every ethnic group. It is a national war. It is here in America. It is affecting the entire nation and all of the states and its territories. And this war is not limited to the national scale. It is being fought in families. May I suggest here, it is being fought in churches. I don't know if you know this or not, but there is a war going on in churches. This same war. We are approaching Easter. Last year at Easter, 123 churches in America took all the crosses down. They removed every cross from the sanctuary, and on the church party property, purged the whole property of crosses, of all crosses. They took them out of their hymn books. They took them out of their book, all the crosses out of the book of prayer. And they have had 1 year, and they are coming back this year to see how many more churches they can decross. There is a war going on in the churches. It is this same war that I will detail to you in a moment. No family is exempt from this war. It is raging in homes, your home. It is going on. Not only is the war being waged in your home, but it is waged in every individual heart. Nobody is exempt from this battle. In order to help you understand the battle to which I refer, I want to spend a few moments. I simply call this on the core issues of the war so you would understand the war. There are several different ways of verbalizing this war. They are found in Scripture, but you will understand them immediately. For example, this is a war of good versus evil. Most people understand that there's somewhat of this warfare going on. The Scripture has other terms for it, like light versus darkness. You are called out of the kingdom of light, or out of the kingdom of darkness, into the glorious light of the gospel. It is a confrontation. It is a struggle. It is a warfare between light and darkness. It is, in fact, a war with God on one side and Satan on the other. I want to be careful here because I do not want to imply to you in any way any philosophical view of dualism is not taught in the Scriptures. Dualism is the idea that there are two equal forces in the world, in the universe, God and Satan. And I want you to know it clearly, they are not equal forces. Many religions are purporting dualism. The most aligned to the philosophy of dualism is Zoroastrianism. And yet dualism is a philosophical notion that is making much progress in other religions of the world, including Christianity. But it's simply not so. But in this war, though these forces are unequal, God and Satan come face to face on the battlefield of the human heart. This warfare is real, and it is taking place, and you are in the battlefield, and sometimes you are the battlefield. Now, it's the last phrase that I want you to catch most succinctly for today, and that is that it is a warfare of two different ideologies. They are polarized. They are extreme opposites. They are the antithesis of one another. It is love versus hate. And you know which side God is on, and you know which side Satan is on. And I want to deal today with the hate, love-hate issue as the core aspect of this warfare in which each of us has been involuntarily thrust. And you must face this. You will not face this issue once. You will face it time and again, if not daily, and sometimes moment by moment. Love versus hate. Which side are you on? To which ideology are you loyal? To which do you ascribe? By which do you function? And this war is very real. The war has lasted most of human history. It really began shortly after the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. And it happened with their sons, and you remember this story. And we know it's from the beginning. This is the message. You have heard this. You have heard it from the beginning. We should love one another. Watch this. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one on the other side and murdered his brother, slew his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Now watch this. And now the scripture gives us a big clue. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, because you are on the same side as Abel. It began there. It can be seen throughout scripture. Let's look at another one. And throughout history, every war that's ever been waged has been caused by hatred. This is a story of Amnon and Tamar. They were actually brother and sister. And Amnon was a brother to I really do know this so well. By the way, in case you're wondering what happened to the last message from the series we were doing, preaching the acceptable year of the Lord, we're going to do that Wednesday night. Okay, just so you know. David's son, Absalom. Now watch this. Amnon claimed to love his sister and wanted to express that love in marital terms. And the story before the verse here is the story of how he plotted, schemed, and tricked her and induced her to yield to his force and commit the marital act. And as soon as it was over, he hated her. He hated her exceedingly. In fact, so much did he hate her that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherein he had loved her. There are marriages like that. Before they get married, they've got this driving love for one another, and then after. And then the hatred grows, and it grows to be greater than the love that. And so he told her to get out and forced her out. And she said, the evil of sending me away is greater than the other thing you did to me. But he would not listen unto her. Story after story is about hatred. And hatred is a hard thing to put your finger on because it can be hidden. It can be disguised. In fact, let's continue the story we just saw a moment ago and take a look at it. So Absalom, who knew that his brother had done this to Tamar, his sister, watched this. From then on, Absalom spake unto his brother, watch this now, and he spoke neither good nor bad. He looked neutral. But underneath, he hated Amnon because he forced his sister, Tamar. Now watch this, because when you walked in today and saw the title, How to Stop Hating, I am sure that many of us just wrote that off as not applying to us. But let me tell you, beloved, there may well be people who hate you, who speak to you neither good nor evil. They do not show their colors. And there may be people here who think because they don't speak for that person, they don't speak against them, they just sort of canceled it out, that they don't have hate. And I ask you today to really give strong consideration to this to make sure it would be the loving thing to do. And look at this. This went on for 2 years. For 2 years, he didn't speak, go out of his way to say anything to his brother that was good. And he didn't go out of his way to say anything to him that was bad. He just covered it up. And he did it for 2 years. And then look what happens in the story. And now Absalom, he set up a war situation. And he forced his father to let his brother Amnon go with them and with the troops. And Absalom commanded his servants, saying, when you see his heart merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite him, then kill him. And don't fear, because you're doing it because I am your commander. You can blame me. Be courageous and be valiant. For 2 years, hatred hid in the heart of Absalom towards his brother. Nobody knew it. His brother didn't know it. His sister didn't know it. His father didn't know it. It was there seething away inside, disguised, out of sight, obscure. And 2 years later, he gets a chance to let that hatred do what hatred, as you'll see in a few moments, always does. It always murders. I'm going to show it to you from the scriptures in just a moment. 2 years pass, however, undetected. Let's look at a few more scriptures. He hides, there are those who hide their hatred with lying lips. They pretend there is no hatred when there is. Hidden, hard to detect, out of sight. Look at the scripture. Words of his mouth were soother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, but they were drawn swords, ready to kill. Because hatred is not a politically correct position to be in. And so it's denied over and over again. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. And look at this. And it's he that hateth now, watch this, and he lays up deceit within himself. Watch this now. When he speaks fair things to you, don't believe him, because the hater has 7 abominations in his heart. Their hatred is covered by deceit. And yet, the wickedness shall be shown to the congregation. It's often hard to detect. In fact, John comes along and says, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. It is possible within the Christian church in America to have literally thousands of people who say, I love God, but they hate somebody, and God says, because they have hate, they're liars. I don't think the scriptures get much more blunt than this right in front of us. And bluntness is required. This hidden hatredness needs to be unveiled. It must be dealt with. We must learn how to stop hating. If we should, as churches in America or that matter, Christian churches around the world, permit people who have hatred to go around testifying. This person could come up to the microphone and testify, I love God. This person would be a witness on the street corner. Remember, I said to you that the elements of this warfare get down to the individual heart condition. And they have this element of hatred has not only the capacity and the power, but the surety of destroying anything eternal. So we could have people who clap along and sing the songs and worship, say, I love God. But have hatred. And God wants everybody to be sure that that person is a liar. Of course, the question then becomes, how do we identify hatred? How can we understand it? And that's what we're going to come to. But before we proceed, let's catch this. There are no biblical circumstances which justify hatred towards people. Now, there are things that should be hated. For example, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Lying lips, and you know the scripture, you know the passage. There are things that should be hated, but there is no place in scripture where hatred can ever justifiably be directed toward a person. Now let's look at scripture. You have heard it said you should love your enemy and love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Let me just paraphrase this. You have heard it said it's okay to love your neighbor and hate those who are doing bad stuff to you. Have you got people in your life who are doing bad stuff to you? Have you had people in your life who have already done bad stuff, serious bad stuff to you? Let me tell you, the most devastating thing that could occur is for someone to have done sufficient evil to you to provoke you to lose this warfare of love and hate, and to become a hater back because of what's been done to you. It is the major cause of hatred. And so someone who was able to induce, reduce, seduce us to a hateful reaction to hate that was done to us, that is the high risk that comes down to the individual level. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemy. We don't get to hate an enemy, let alone a brother. In fact, if that enemy is cursing you, you bless them. And if he's hates you, do good to them that hate you and pray for them. In other words, whoever it is that is trying to provoke you to switch over to a satanic strategy of dealing with them by provoking hatred out of you, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to demonstrate how to avoid the trap. And you avoid the trap by loving the one that hates you. You avoid the trap by doing good to the one that hates you. You avoid the trap by praying for him because he despitefully uses you. And otherwise, we get sucked into, tricked into, maneuvered, manipulated into losing the war, switching sides. And we become haters. Now, if you do this, you become the children of your Father in heaven. Because look at this, if you love them, only the ones that love you, oh, big deal. The sinners do the same thing. Look at that. What reward should you get for loving somebody who loves you? Even though the most pagan out there does that. Even the publicans do the same thing. So here we go. How do you recognize hatred? And we begin here with understanding that hatred is a condition of the heart. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. It occurs in the heart. Now, I want to take a moment on this word brother, because this could be your flesh and blood brother. It could be your brother in the Lord or sister. This is not a gender statement, this word brother. It could be a father or mother, as you'll see in a moment. Could be a spouse, could be your child. You shall not let this get in your heart. It's a condition of a heart. And it's a condition of the heart that produces many destructive behaviors. Because out of the heart proceeds. And now there's a list of things. And this is a short list. But evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies, these things defile a man. So hatred in the heart causes other stuff to come out that is bad, but it is sourced by this condition of the heart. The heart is either in a condition of love, or is in a condition of hatred. These are core elements of the warfare. The battle is not over symptoms, that's not over peripherals. The battle is over the core issues of the heart. And so hatred in the heart produces a whole lot of destructive behavior. It creates lying. We're going to see. I mean, the Luke passage is even longer. But here's one of the things I want you to get. I mentioned it earlier. Hatred is always bent on murder. Watch the scripture with me, please. Now, out of the heart proceeds evil. Out of the heart proceeds, and what, I want you to get this one word here for a moment, murders. The killing around the world is because of hatred. Whether it's nation against nation, whether it's one race against another race, all hatred leads to murder. Now watch. Because this is, we're at the critical point where I want you to see this truth. Whoever hates is a murderer. whoever hates is a murderer. He may never have committed a murder. He may never have carried it out in time and space, but whoever hates is a murderer. This is a, you understand how then the import of the subject before us. Let me show you another amazing verse. And I want to talk about this phrase down here, murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. That doesn't mean, and by the way, it's shocking, isn't it, in the news? In the last 2 years in America, we've had people literally murder father and mother. Headlines. Court cases going on right now. We have had parents murder their children. I'm not talking here about abortion. That's bad. It's horrible. Because hatred always leads to murder. But there are millions of murdering going on in America today where the children, where the parents aren't dead. Murdering is still taking place because a child with hatred in his heart is, in fact, a murderer. And I want to just give you a short diagram here because, and so here it is. Here's a person, and a person has spirit, soul, and body, as you know. And a soul is intellect and emotion. Now watch this. And over here is a hater. And this hater, watch this now, the hater may not kill the body. The body may still be functional. The reason why more murder doesn't occur in America is because there are civil penalties for doing so. And so you still have murderers who want to murder, but they know if they do it, the consequences are so severe that they won't do it. But they're still murderers. Are you following me? Is everybody with me now? Now watch this. So, a murderer may not kill the body, but a murderer, one who hates, may try to kill the soul, the intellect, the emotions. Someone with hate, here it is. Here's how a child can be a murderer. Because he hates his father or hates his mother. And because of civil law, can't carry it out. Because he doesn't want to pay the price tag. But if there were a guarantee of no capture, no discovery, he may well do it. But he's restrained. And by the way, this is the purpose of civil government. This is why God says in chapter Romans that they are God's ministers to you for your good. Civil government operates by a whole set of laws given to us in Scripture. But that child may accuse and blaspheme and mock and bear false witness and speak despicably and slander and accuse. And the Scripture calls him a murderer of a father. Or a murderer of mothers. You see this? Do you see the destruction that comes out of hatred? It is to damage the other person. And while you can't take his life literally, his physical life, you are going to take his life mentally and emotionally and spiritually. You will rape and ransack and ravage that person. And this, my friends, is going on all over this nation and around the world. It is murder by degree. It fails to destroy the body, but is intent on destroying the soul. Now, our government and our legal system have terms for this. They don't state it nearly as drastically and as plainly and as bluntly as doth the scriptures. Scripture, the legal system may call it what's the term? It's a real common term. I can't believe it's escaping my lips. A man abuse. There's the word abuse. Simple word and amazing. This goes with 61 times around the sun. I haven't got the 40-year thing working for me yet. Abuse. The civil leaders call it abuse. What is wonderful about the civil authorities that God has placed here in America is that they are sensitive to this thing called abuse. And they understand the damage of it. They understand how terrible it is for a person to live in that context. But God calls it exactly for what it is. It is murder by degree. Everybody follow me so far? And then hatred causes confusion and blindness. The person who's doing this can't see it. He that says he's in the light and he hates his brother, watch this now, is in darkness. Even right up until this moment, he's in darkness. Now watch this now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him. But watch this. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. Now watch this. And he is walking in the darkness, and he doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. This is what happens with hatred. It means the person is in darkness. It means they're walking in darkness. Their job, whatever it is they're doing, their daily activities, they're walking around in darkness. They don't know what they're doing. There's confusion. And that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Cannot see straight. Hatred has this effect. Hatred affects and causes such blindness that all that can be seen by the hater is the provocation by the other person, is the damage that was done to them by the other person. That's all that can be seen. And life gets out of order. Becomes eclectic. It becomes confused. It becomes disarranged. And sure, energy is expended, but that person is walking in the darkness and he can't see because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Well, what is the darkness? Hatred. It enables us, or keeps us from being able to see. Now, here's some more on how to recognize hatred. Hatred stirs up strife. Hmm. If there is strife, the scripture says there is every other kind of evil. Hatred stirs up strife. Can't stay out of it. Has to get into an argument. Has to provoke. Has to accuse. Where there could be peace for 10 minutes. But hatred causes that person to stir it up. Now, not only in the presence of the person, but when the person's not there and they talk to somebody else, guess what they talk to the other person about? What so-and-so did to them. And they stir it up all the time because it is a characteristic of hatred. Now, this stirring up can be very personal. That is, it keeps them stirred up in their mind. They cannot lay it down. They cannot be at peace because the nature of hatred is to stir up the offenses that provoked it, and the hater stays in this circling of the wagon motions around and around and around, circling and circling and circling, repeating, repeating, and repeating, and is stuck like a broken record on the phrase. And is stirred up all the time and always strife. On the other hand, and here you see the contrast in this war, the two sides. Hate stirs up strife, but love doesn't do that. Love covers all sins. Love doesn't let what somebody did to him or her prevent peace, the dismissal of the strife. Love covers sin, gets over the sin to reach the other person anyhow. That's what the Lord's side is like. And then hatred causes critical speaking. Now watch this. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. Now this word dissemble in the Hebrew, it means to pick apart. It means to scrutinize everything they say and do with a negative intent, with an evil intent, with suspicion. And so they cannot, you recognize hatred by speech because it causes the hater with his lips to always be taking somebody apart for something. And not only does he do this, but it lays up, let's look at the rest of the verse. When he speaks fair, now there'll be moments when this hater will speak nice things. Don't believe him. Believe him not, because there are 7 abominations in his heart. But it causes evil speaking. Well, what I want to get to this morning and close with is, what are we going to do about this? Oh, I forgot about this diagram. Let's take a look at this. There are 2 conditions that this heart could be in. One is a loving condition. And if I were to draw or write in here love as the condition of this heart, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and you would always hear from someone who is on God's side, you would always hear edifying words, words that are spoken with grace in the heart, because grace is in the heart. Words that are spoken that are gentle, words that are encouraging, words that are warm, words that are uplifting, words because you can't help it, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now watch this. In contrast, let me change the diagram, and someone here who has hate in the heart, whatever measure of it. This hatred will always come up and cause destructive speech. The deceit that goes along with the hatred may be such of such caliber that the speaking of the destructive speech is done behind a person's back or to others than are involved in whatever the conflict was. Hate this person here, but I go tell everybody else how rotten they are, how bad they are. Carries an evil report. So understand then that hatred causes this critical speaking. It always leads, hatred always manifests this way, and love always speaks this way. Why the scripture says the power of death and life is in the tongue. All right, so what are we going to do about this hatred? How do we stop hating? And I'm only going to go with one text here this morning, I think, but it is so good. Two texts, actually. First, to realize that God wants to win this war with Satan. And God wants you to win the war with Satan. And God wants you firmly established in a love walk and not a hate walk. And no amount of hatred is tolerable. None of it is just, there must be zero tolerance for hatred. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Because a little poison poisons the whole cherry pie. Any hatred must be absolutely purged out of us. And so the question is, how does this happen? Well, first of all, I want you to see this wonderful scripture. For we ourselves also were sometimes, are you ready? Hateful and hating one another. All of us used to live there once upon a time. We were, and I want you to get this, were, past tense. We were foolish, we were disobedient, we were deceived. We served divers lusts and pleasures. Look at this. We lived in malice and envy, jealousy over the success of others. But I want you not to miss this. We were sometimes hateful and hating one another. And watch this, because here's one of those other wonderful, but something changed. But after that, something changed. Well, here we go. Here is how the change takes place. This scripture enunciates it so well. Number one, there must first be exposure to the kindness and the love of God. Because there has to be a new model. There has to be a new example. There has to be a new sample. There has to be a new vision. There has to be an idea that contrasts with Satan's way of hatred. So there is a new way of living. There is a godly way of living. There is a loving way of living. And if you want to know the bottom line of this thing, the way to stop hating is to start loving. That's the solution. But how does one do that? How do you just revert after the pattern of hatred? So we were in this hatred mode, and we cut people down, and we hack people, and we commit murder. We're murderers in our heart, and we slay people intellectually, emotionally, and socially, and we damage them domestically, and we do all these murderous things out of this hatred. Now it's time for change. Change is possible because we were all like that once upon a time. But the first thing that happened is we came into contact with the kindness and the love of God. It's a new way of living. It is a radical difference. There's another side. There's another military camp. There's another side of the warfare besides Satan. There's another conqueror, and he intends to conquer. In the end, he will conquer. We know that. We know that until all the world becomes the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. And his rule will be a rule of love and not hate. And he will introduce what writers and would-be prophets have been trying to get us to for decades now, the age of Aquarius, or a time and era on this planet when all hatred and malice will be done away with and everything will be love and like and light. And my friend, that day is coming. And it will come at the conquering moment when all the enemies are put under his feet. And when the enemy is entirely put under his feet, there will be no more hatred. Hallelujah. And it will be changed. But until that moment gets here, when the King of Kings arrives with 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints, read it about it in the book of Jude. The Lord is coming with 10,000 times thousands of saints. And he's going to take over this place and mandate by the rule of iron, by the rod of iron, and eliminate this. And by the way, that's not an easy task. Do you know how long it's going to take him to do it? 1,000 years. Because there is that much hatred on this planet. There is that much malice. There is that much of Satan's work, and it's all going to get destroyed. And that will bring in what's called the new heavens and the new earth. And the renovation will be complete. Hallelujah. And this place will be like a heaven here on earth. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ shall have arrived in full power. Between now and that moment, however, the battlefield still rages. It's an international, it's a planetary, it's an international, it's an inter-ethnos. It's a national issue in America. It's an issue in churches, in families, and it's an issue in your heart and mine. And we have gathered today to respond to this great love of God and invoke him. Invoke his blessing to bring into us himself in such a way is that we will never, it can never be said of us that there be no manifestation, zero tolerance. There will be no hatred in my life. How shall we get rid of it? Number one, we must see the alternative. We must see, look at that, after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. People must see the other side of this warfare and understand that this other way is the right way. It is the better way. It is the only way. It is God's way, and it's going to win in the end. So we must see this. We must get exposed to the kindness and love of God. And oh, I don't know about you, but for me this morning, it was such a delight in the early parts of this service to be singing about the love of God. The love of God. Well, what's the next step? There must be the reception of mercy. In other words, all the hatred that we've had must, some action must be precipitated. Some action must take place to initiate the elimination of it. What will we do about that? And it is not done by works of righteousness, but it is done according to his mercy. So mercy is what moves the hand of God to do something about the hatred in our lives. Now, the strange thing about mercy from God is that God just doesn't just do it without adequate cause. Mercy is the one thing that God wants to give everyone but doesn't, because everyone is not qualified for it. Who's qualified for mercy? Those that are merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In other words, something happens in us where we say, we need to get rid of this, Lord. I hate this person. I hate that person. I hate that parent, whatever case has been. And you're switching to mercy towards them instead of hatred. Shakespeare said, quality of mercy is not strained. But if you and I see the kindness and the love of God which has appeared to us, and we want to quit being what we were, it's done by His mercy. Now watch this. Next thing that happens is that He comes in His mercy to actually get the hatred out of us. But according to His mercy, He saved us. Here's how. Here's how He's doing it now. By the washing of regeneration. Now, the phrase of regeneration is critical to understand this kind of washing. This is not merely like washing hand, getting your dirt off your hand. Because here's the problem. Here's a difference between sin. Here's a difference between hate and dirt on your hands. Hate puts blood in your hands. Puts blood on your hands. It's not just dirty. It's bloody. It's a wounded hand. It's got blood stain. And you can wash a wounded hand and still have the wound. Because there's nothing in washing that can regenerate the torn skin. But the washing that God does, the washing of regeneration, is cleansing and at the same time rejuvenating. It helps the flesh and tissue grow again. It is reconstructive. Not merely of the hand, as in my illustration, but of the heart. So the washing of the heart, the washing by regeneration, yeah, it does two things at the same time. It washes out the hatred from the heart, and it regenerates the heart. It brings the heart back to a proper, normal condition of love. Hallelujah. It regenerates. So a washing away of the old takes place. And then it's a renewing. This is not a one-shot deal that there, I'm saving you, and now I'm putting you in suspended animation. Because if He only saved us and allowed us to keep on going, we'd be doing some of the same things again, right? But what He does to prevent is He gives the Holy Spirit as a renewaler, if there is such a word, He's a renewaler of us all the time, every time. In other words, when you get the renewing of the Holy Spirit, moment by moment, the supernatural working of God's Spirit keeps the hate out of there and keeps you on the new track. Renewed by the Spirit. Now notice that what He is giving to us here is not stingily handed out. It is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. It's abundant. This washing, this renewal of regeneration, and this renewing by the Holy Spirit, this is poured out. It's shed on us abundantly. No potential loss because of a lack of involvement by God in your life from here on. Hallelujah. All right. Well, and now this needs to be affirmed constantly. Now, let's go back here. What needs to be affirmed constantly? Watch this. Our exposure to the love and kindness of God, the reception of mercy, the cleansing of the renewal, the cleansing of regeneration and the renewal. Now, these things need to be affirmed constantly. So look at the next verse. This is a faithful saying, and these things, now which, look, watch this now, these things is referring to these four factors that have previously been mentioned. Okay, watch this. I will that thou affirm these four things constantly. So, I keep this in my mind. I work at this. I'm a lover, not a hater. And God shows me through his kindness and his love, I understand. And by his mercy, he's renewed me by the Holy Spirit, and he's washed me, and this is shed on me abundantly. And what do? I keep affirming this, that to be the case. This is the case. This is the case. This is the case. Because if you don't keep doing the self-talk at this point and keep knowing that this is the case, these four things happen, this is reality, you will give in to the other force and the hate will seep back in again. And so this is a maintenance method that God has built in. Once we were haters and we lived hateful lives, but now there appeared unto us the kindness and the love of God through Jesus Christ. And then not according to my righteousness or works that I've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, and he did it by the washing of regeneration, and he keeps me renewed by the Spirit, and I've got such a great supply of this. It's shed on me abundantly, and I have to keep walking in it and saying it and believing it and acting on it over and over again until a new pattern is established that absolutely negates the hateful elements, and they can never come back again because of what God has done in my life. This is how it happens. This is genuine conversion. Now, there's the last element here in this verse. We must be careful. Be careful to maintain the good works that come out of this new way of life. And what's wonderful is that all these new good works, they are good and profitable unto all men. Isn't that neat? But we're to maintain the new way. So I got to affirm constantly and maintain the works that verify what I affirm constantly. I am now set on a new path because I saw the kindness and the love of God. And then lastly, because of the foregoing six things, we begin to live love exclusively. And I should have added here, inclusively. Which simply means that I'm to exclude no one and include everyone. And I cannot behave Christian to 99% of the people, but maintain hatred and behavior hatred towards an ex-spouse, for example, an ex-employer, or somebody who you understand. This has to be toward, we live the love life exclusively and inclusively. We exclude no one and we include everyone. So, beloved, let us love one another. For he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, but he that loveth not everyone knoweth not God. God is love. Now let me close. Would you, because these are precious moments, and these are moments, you know, you would think I was preaching to an unconverted audience, and I know I'm not. At least, I hope in the main I'm not. It's possible that there are some here who have never converted to the love of God as their absolute only way of life. But for all of us today, what I would like you to do, I would ask the Holy Spirit right now to bring to your mind, and he will do this in an instant, to bring to your mind in this moment, Holy Spirit, bring to the minds of these people the ones to whom we have had adequate cause and provocation to hate. And would you now include them in your sphere of love? Will you reach around them instead of making them an exception? And you treat everybody else this wonderful way, but this person did this and they provoked us to hate. I believe what the Holy Spirit is zealous to do today is to bring it to our minds, to our attention. And by his power, remove all hatred from us altogether. So you know those names, the Spirit of God already, I mean, this came to you in a flash, didn't they? Because he's faithful. And I ask you right now to come to a place of terminating. Call it what it really was. Call it what it really is. Call it what it really has been. Hatred. And let this loving, kind God affirm to you afresh today that we even do this with enemies, as well as brothers. Just no one is excluded. And then based on mercy towards them instead of hate, let God be merciful to you right now and wash you in the washing of regeneration, creating something fresh and new in your heart and spirit right now. That you being renewed moment by moment by this Holy Spirit, all of these things which are now shed on you abundantly through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you affirm this constantly from here on out so that it never leaks back in again. And you be careful to maintain good works, behavior reflective of the new love walk that excludes all hatred towards all men everywhere. I pray that for you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit take the sword out of your hand . Let him silence the hateful speaking tongue and fill you with love. That you from here on out be good soldiers, enduring hardness, and let nobody provoke you off of love response at any time. This is my prayer for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that's been helpful to you today. By the way, those of you who have been learning the commands of Christ this week, number 5, first week was repent, kingdom of heaven's at hand. Second was follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, and rejoice. Remember? Then let your light shine. This week is honor the law of God. Jesus said, I've not come to destroy a lot of the prophets, but to fulfill it. Those of you who studied the material this week learned, listen to me now, you learned probably one of the 10 most important things about understanding the Bible this week. I have not heard a finer or read a finer explanation by anybody of the law and the prophets than you would have read this week in your study of this. Command of Christ. There are three things that must be understood in order to understand the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are three things in the New Testament that have to do with the Old Testament that you need to understand in order to understand the Bible. You need to understand the law. What happened to the law? What happened to the testimony of the prophets, and what happened to the covenant. Those are the three things that are of utmost importance to understand your Bible. And if you studied the portion this week, you will have a grasp on the Old Testament like you never had before. Critical teaching this past week. So, mention, don't forget the materials are available. And take them up. Let's go. We're on an agenda, and don't let your family go without learning commands of Christ. And won't it be wonderful to have Bill here, whether by video or in person, in April for 1 week on the basic seminar. Everybody should be at this. Then the anger resolution, August 4 or 5, and then back in November, beginning on the 6th of November, that week on another basic seminar here in the auditorium. So we are in, this is a good year. It's a good year. So we're going forward. Amen. I hope that was helpful to you this morning. How many still love the preacher? Let me see your hand.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.